Hello, welcome to another episode of the Claudia and B Show. Hi, this is Claudia, not B.
This is B, not Claudia.
And we're going to talk about redeeming love.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you guys, are you so proud of us for being like totally on top of a new thing? Because I don't know if you know this, redeeming love just came out in theaters.
Yeah, it did. We B and I actually saw it the same night.
We did.
And we went by ourselves.
It was special. It was I really felt close to you that night, Claudia.
It's just too bad we don't live in the same town because we would have just gone together.
Yeah.
But we just went by ourselves, so which I actually found very therapeutic. I've never been to a movie by myself, and I really liked it.
Oh, that was your first time?
Yeah, that was my first time, and I really liked it.
That's awesome. I like going to the theater by myself, actually. So I'm glad you got to experience that, and you were comfortable with it as well. I had plans to go with a friend that night, and that didn't end up happening. So I was like, gotta go anyway, and I went. And it was really good. I actually liked watching that movie on my own as well because it, like, helped me think and just kind of be in the moment instead of getting distracted by having a friend there, because, you know, I am distracted easily. It's just surprising to hear that sometimes, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know Redeeming Love is a book by Francine Rivers. I read it when I was in high school when I read it. And it's, if you're a Christian girl, you know what redeeming love is. Like, it's just, like, you should at least have heard of it. Like, B, you heard about redeeming love before we talked about it, haven't
you? I did not, actually.
You hadn't heard of it? Oh, okay. Well, but you're Mormon, so I guess that's different.
I'm that group of Christians, so you're not wrong, actually, because there is a lot of Mormon literature, and so I do feel like sometimes there's, like, this little bubble of Mormons that they're like, oh, wait, there's other Christians out there, you know? So you're probably right about that.
Yes. Well, because what's funny is that when I walk into the theater, okay, there was probably, I would say, about 10 or 11 people in the theater when I went. And it was, I would definitely say it was all women. I think there was one guy in it. It was like a husband of somebody. But generally they were all older. Mm-hmm. There were maybe a few my age. And when I walked in the theater, it was a lady going in with probably her daughter or something. Her daughter was probably, I don't know, maybe around my age or a little bit younger. She walks beside me and she's like, are you a Francine Rivers fan? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, good. Cause this is my favorite book. I was like, I know, I've been wanting them to make it a movie for so long. Because I just, I'm so happy that they waited this long to make it for a couple of reasons, because it's really well done. They were able, they had the option to make it well, you know what I mean? But also, I think enough time has passed in the world where Christian movies, they see how they need to make them, to not make them cheesy, to make them appealing to a larger audience than just Francine Rivers fans, which is like a very small niche. And this movie hit it out of the ballpark, I think. What do you think about it? Like, with you not knowing anything about the story, or I know you've, like, started reading the book, but, like, what were your impressions?
Yeah, you know, I like that you can come at it with the background of reading the book and really enjoying the book. I am, like, 8 chapters into the book. So watching the movie, I was going in kind of being like, I really don't know what happens in this story. And I agree with you. I think that this has set a new level for Christian movies, because as much as I have always enjoyed a good Christian flick, I also secretly hate them because they just keep it so warm and fuzzy. And I understand the purpose behind that. Like, they, you know, they don't want to just bring smut into a family's living room. But I think that it was really powerful because they went there with this movie. They showed how dirty and gross and awful her life was, experiencing prostitution from a young age, and they didn't hold back on a lot of really ugly things that happened. They did not show, like, raunchy details or super smutty things. I felt like everything they did was very tasteful, and well depicted to show how dark things were for her. Because if we're showing a redemption story, you appreciate the light when you've seen the darkness, you know?
Oh, that's a good thing to say, yeah.
Thank you. I think in Christianity sometimes we forget that the power of Christ's atonement and repentance is so powerful when you've experienced something really bad. And we don't always have to shy away from talking about bad things, because you can feel the Spirit when you do talk about negative as well. You know what I mean? It's almost a bigger testament or a testimony for the good that can come
from turning your life over to Christ. Oh, for sure, for sure.
So I appreciated that the most, you know?
Yeah, I totally am on board with you there. And then also it tells the story, and since your brain is better than mine in some ways.
Oh, goodness. Sure, we'll go with that, even though that's not true. But what do you got?
No, it's the story of Hosea, right, in the Bible, isn't it?
Oh, it is. If I am being completely honest with you, I don't remember that story at all. I'm actually reading the Old Testament this year. That's my scripture study. So I'll get to that story. But when it first said, like, based off of that book, I was like, oh, what story is that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
But for you people who are better at reading your Bible out there, it's based off of that story.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So basically in the story, I can just kind of break it down. There is a girl, and her name is, well, her prostituted name is Angel. But in the story, this guy who's an honest farmer, he sees her like walking through, the town where she is a prostitute at, and he's like, oh, I gotta have her, God's calling me to her because he prayed for a wife and blah blah blah. So basically he takes her away from that. A series of events happen, and he takes her away from there, and they end up getting married, and the whole story is basically her leaving and then coming back, leaving and coming back through a variety of ways. And I think mm-hmm. that the story is a really good testament to show that if you're in a relationship with somebody and you want them to change, you cannot change them. Only they can change mm-hmm. and be right with God, and then they'll change. You know what I mean? They have to basically be responsible for themselves and to be right with the Lord, which is evident with her because she leaves several times throughout the story. And at the very end, spoiler, I guess, but she does eventually come back. But at the very end, she leaves. But she takes time for herself, and she realizes her purpose in life, and she focuses on herself and gets her life together, and then she ends up going back to be with him. So it's a good testament to realize it's like you, if you're in a relationship with somebody that's just, there's things wrong with them, wrong that are really scary. Like if you're dealing with somebody like that's an alcoholic or an addict or, you know, different things that they have issues with. I think it's important to realize, like, oh, I can't change them. They have to, like, prove to themselves, like, that they can change. And mm-hmm. you kind of just have to leave them alone and let them figure mm-hmm. it out. And if you're meant to be together, you'll be together. But, you know, I just think too many times, especially girls, we tend to be like, oh, I want to fix him. Like, I want to fix him. Let me fix him. And it's like, no.
You can't save anyone. They have to do the work, and they have to accept God, you know, they have to mm-hmm. accept forgiveness and that they can be different, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was a beautiful story to show how you could support somebody through it and really not judge somebody through it, which is mm-hmm. hard. That's a hard thing to do, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know. And Hosea's just awesome. Michael.
Yeah.
He was a cutie.
They did... he was a cutie. Actually, let's talk about this cutie. So if we're just talking about like the production value of this movie, they had a great team come together. The what's his name? Michael? No, not Michael. It's DJ Caruso was the director, and he and Francine Rivers wrote the screenplay. So I think that that's probably one reason it was really powerful is because they had a good, solid director and writer, and then they had the original writer of the story there to kind of help make sure everything was really true to it, which I want to ask you some of the details of the books that were different or what was changed on that since you know the whole story. But let's go over a little cast member call, shall we?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you because there are some people in this movie that were like, you know, popular actresses and actors. And I think that's so cool because in a Christian movie, it's like,
good ones.
Yeah, and it's a mainstream Christian movie, which I think like isn't happening a lot these days. And I think that it's just so cool that and this needs to happen more often.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that they got a good cast like that of people that you would actually recognize. Mm-hmm. So Angel is played by Abigail Cohen. Mm-hmm. Tom Lewis is Michael Hosea. So they're the two main characters. But then the supporting character or supporting actors are solid.
Yeah. Well, and actually Abigail Cohen, she was in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So if anyone's familiar with that, then...
Oh,
Yeah. So
I didn't realize that.
I knew I recognized her from something, but I kind of fell off that Sabrina wagon because it just got too, like...
With the reboot? The reboot is pretty dark.
Yeah. And it, I kept on falling asleep and I was like, well, you know...
Guess I'm not meant to watch this one.
And then,
a cast, we also have, sorry, talking over you.
No, no, talk over me all you want. You're part of the billboard.
So May, who plays Abigail, or not Abigail, well, Abigail, but Angel's mother, is played by Nina Dobrev, who I love from Vampire Diaries. She's such a versatile actress. Love her.
And she was in Love Hard, if you saw that over Christmas.
Yeah, like, that's out on Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm. Such a cute movie. Loved that movie. I loved it.
It is really, really good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
We also have Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy. He is awful in this one, but he does a good... He has this Irish accent that actually sounds pretty solid and not ridiculous. Irish accents are kind of hard sometimes, but he did good with it, you know?
Yeah.
We have Jamie Lynn O'Donnell, speaking of Irish accent. She is one of the girls on Dairy Girls.
Yeah.
She was
so
great.
When she came out, I was so excited. I was so excited. I love her so much. I love that Dairy Girls is like one of my faves. I love that show.
Isn't it funny? They have taken too long to get me that third season. I need it.
I know. I flew through the first two. I just love it so much. It's so good.
It's so funny. So funny. And then we also have, I don't know how to say her name.
I think I know who you're talking about. The governess.
Duchess.
Mistress, the Duchess, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know, Femke Jensen, who was Jean Grey in X-Men. So that's how I know her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had some good people.
They did.
So there's just a great cast. Well played. Like there was a little bit of cheese just because, you know, there's the moments where you're like, oh, okay, I don't know if it would work out that well in life. But it wasn't a cheesy Christian Hallmarky flick. It was good.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I would
even
recommend it
to
people.
Their love scenes were good.
Yeah. Well, and but what I liked about it is it wasn't like super in your face, like showing all the details, which like it just ends up being too much. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't want a Handmaid's Tale this. Like, you know what I mean? That's too much.
No, we don't.
No. But it was just really like the. But the love scenes were great. And I don't know. I just love that it's like promoting, like, I don't know. It's just making, putting marriage in a good light, which like it makes me happy. And I'm saying this from like someone who's been divorced. So like, you know, like, of course, like I, you know, but I just think it's important for people to see, like, marriage in a good light. Because, like, a lot of times, and nowadays in the mainstream media, it's, like, destroyed. And so it's, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And I there was a good balance in this movie. I just felt like all the things I need and want were really balanced out. There was the darkness, but then they had the positive side of it as well. They didn't shy away from, like, how, like, bad things. Mm-hmm. But then also they had, like, a sweetness and an innocence to their physical connection as man and wife. But then they also didn't shy away and just be like, oh, we have to make that, like, cheesy or, like, super, super straight-laced. Because you don't have to be ashamed of that connection, you know? And anyone who has grown up in a very conservative Christian environment knows that sometimes there's a lot of shame around sexual wants or desires, because it's like, oh, no, that's bad. And it's not bad. In certain contexts, that's not the best choice. But, like, there doesn't have to be shame around it. And I liked that in this, it showed that romantic depiction of them, a man and a wife, having sex, understanding that there's, like, a lot behind it of her having a lot of trauma and then their marriage being, like, a little unconventional. Mm-hmm. But then it wasn't weird, you know? I felt like it was a respectful depiction of a normal relationship in that regard.
No,
you know what I
agree.
I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. Now, the one negative thing about the movie that, you know, the only thing I could come up with, and you and I talked about this a little bit on Marco, was her hair. Uh-huh. It was way too perfect the whole time.
It was way too pretty. What the heck? That's totally not believable.
No, I was like, make the frizz. Like, on video, guys, I'm showing all my frizz. Right. Make it frizzy. Make it, like, you know, make it look normal.
Like, we're like the frizz sisters here.
I know.
I can see where they use fat as, like, their depiction of her being gorgeous. But it went to me, as a woman, it was distracting sometimes, being like, why isn't her hair, like, a little more messy?
I know, like, I wanted I just want it to look natural. Like, that's the only thing. And that's what bugged me about movies is, I mean, for example, like, I remember when I first saw Twilight, like, I was annoyed that Bella's hair always looked perfect every single scene, when Bella is supposed to be, like, mm-hmm. a normal girl and her hair looks perfect, like, the whole time. And it's like, you know, I just want it to look natural. Yeah. Like, I want it to look realistic, you know? So,
you know what bugged me about that movie? The sparkly vampires.
Oh, I love the sparkly vampires. Give me a sparkly vampire any day of the week, any time of day, and I am loving it. So, anyway.
I want the vampires from Vampire Diaries.
Oh. I don't know
that Nina Dobrev was in.
So. Yeah.
Did you not watch that show?
No.
Really?
I was a Twilight vampire person, so.
You know, that's fine. I was for a while, too. If you watch, I'm just going to warn you now, and all the listeners, the weird listeners who haven't watched Vampire Diaries, if you that's do, me. It is so worth it, and you will have a million crushes all of a sudden watching that show. The CW finds the most beautiful humans to put on their shows.
Yes. Yeah, I know. They have the monies. So we have a minute left before we have to go. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. My final thoughts are, I hope everyone goes and enjoys this movie, one, because it really is worth the watch, and two, I hope that it does really well in the box office so that there are more productions made like this, because it was perfect.
I know. I hope so too. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering though, if there is an option to stream it at home, because, in general, I feel like that movies are just, people don't want to go out as much anymore because of COVID times. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like movie theaters are just seeing, like, a decline, which I feel like they already were seeing a decline because of Netflix and Amazon Prime and all of that. So I don't know.
Which makes me sad. I really, really love going to a movie. So I hope they don't, like, completely close and leave me stranded and alone.
I know. You know. I just like seeing it on the big screen. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, there's something about it.
Yeah.
The movie theater, can I just say this in the last 30 seconds mm-hmm. because it's so important. The movie theater by my house that I went to, they switched from Coke to Pepsi products. And I was very peeved about that.
Oh, no.
You don't go to the movies for a Pepsi. You go for a Coke.
I know.
Gosh. Anyway, that was my first world problem.
Yeah.
While I was watching the movie,
you just sneak food in. I snuck some food in too, even though I did get popcorn yeah. and a drink, but I did sneak some like food in.
Well, yeah. I will be sneaking my vanilla Coke in from now on. That's you can depend on that. Okay, you guys, we're gonna have to wrap it up. But
for
our Patreon
movie.
Subscribers, keep listening because we're gonna talk about Claudia's gonna lay out the difference between the book and the movie for us next and. And please, please watch the movie, like Claudia said.
Yeah, watch it.
It's gonna be great.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.